May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 470. Death and the grave are doleful themes for sinful mortal worms to sing, except a Saviour's brighter beams dispel the gloom and touch the string. Hymn 470.
Let us read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, it is a long chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of it to us. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above, unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone, howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may believe, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the deserts, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live for ever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, and drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live for ever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Let us pray. Most holy and very blessed and gracious God, we do bow down before thee, and may we lay to heart that we are indeed drawing near unto the I am, that I am, and that that we may truly say, as instructed by the Emmanuel, hallowed be thy name. And may we truly draw near in humble faith and address thy mercy and thy power, that we poor sinners indeed might find delivering grace in our distressing hours here below. And there are many of them, Lord. And we do pray then that as we now meet around thy word, we would come with that exercise, sir, we would see Jesus. And we plead, Lord Jesus, that thy name may be as ointment poured forth among us tonight, and there may be a portion for our souls. Oh, what a great and a blessed God thou art. Oh, thou art that great Father of mercies, the God and the Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, do draw us to thy most well-beloved Son, that we may truly know little of what it is to eat thy flesh, Lord Jesus, and to drink thy blood. And we do ask particularly for the Holy Spirit to be here this evening. Pour upon us from on high that heavenly dove, that he may come with that life-giving vigour and make the precious word of God, which is the truth, a living word, a lively word, or a gracious word. Our Lord, we pray that our hearts may be softened and broken, and that, Lord, we might know what it is a little to bow our heads even here tonight and worship thee in spirit and in truth, Lord. Oh, Lord, thy kingdom come, and please dwell among us now, and do break to us the bread of life here this evening. And as the heartache and troubles and woes and worries of one and another, yes, Lord, oh, let us know all our sin. Oh, Lord, well, it's an ocean we can't see the end of, the bottom of. It is to us. To us, our sins are infinite. Oh, Lord, like an overwhelming flood, always rising, always working. Something evil's always going on somewhere in our being, or the mischief in our hearts. And not only so much of it, but, oh, it's various ugly faces and facets, Lord, and indeed, we're completely ruined. We're completely ruined. We are, Lord. We feel it solemnly. Oh, but we plead the precious hope of the gospel, the hope in the gospel, Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God, that we might be saved. We do need much saving, saving day by day. Yes, and a complete and absolute salvation. Oh, we ask that all our sins, our many, many innumerable sins, Lord, oh, do pardon all. What a great pardon that is. It must be. What a great God thou art to pardon such monsters. Oh, how wonderful thou art in thy love. Oh, we do pray to know thy love, the love of thy well-beloved Son, shed abroad in our hearts by the love of the Spirit. May receive Emmanuel's love in our heart, and oh, that we might receive that kingdom that can never be removed, that kingdom that is forever. Oh, bring us into that kingdom. May we view it by faith, receive something of its life and its sanctity in our hearts by faith. We may be enlivened to truly live to Christ and no more to self. Oh, Lord, do help us. We need much help and much grace and much sanctifying. We really do. Oh, bless us now, kind physician, dost know all the woes and distempers and corruptions and tremblings of one and another. Oh, how, Lord, at times Satan seems to be well nigh inside us and about to get the victory finally. So he gloats and says he will. But oh, may we be helped to hold fast. Own our guilt with contrition and to plead the blood of the everlasting covenant and thy all prevailing name, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Give us all a real religion here. Oh Lord, let it be the work of grace among the friends. Do work that mighty work in this place. Oh, do touch many, many hearts. Oh Lord, that thou art so save thy people here. Do have a people here. Do have a people here in days to come. Oh, do dwell among them. And may, Lord, thy spirit remain among them. That work that mighty work in this day and generation, even among the folks that worship here, Lord. Oh, we beg, we pray. Oh, may there be holy brethren, each one. Partakes the heavenly calling. We do realise the sovereignty of thy electing love. Not all Christian folks and Jesuit Baptists are exercised and sanctified and separated by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God. We realise that. But oh, we can only pray it realising the solemnity of the import of eternity. Oh, oh, what a woe. What a woe is a lost eternity, damned forever. So we would earnestly entreat that the precious gospel may have success, that thy word might have free course and be glorified, and that thy name Emmanuel may be as ointment poured forth, that many virgins here may love thee, because of the savour of thy good ointments. Bless office bearers, give wisdom and grace and godly fear. May they so discharge their duties in office and the tender fear of God. And may they be good stewards, faithful, yet walking humbly with their God. May there be much prayer in this place. Oh, bless many sinners, bless the children, the little ones in arms, and the youth. Oh, meet each of them, Lord, in due time. Don't let them just grow up religious, but may they all be brought into some solemn concern for the weight of their sins and their true state, and cry out for the living God and knock at mercy's door. Remember all in sickness and age and weakness. Are those older friends no longer able to come, sick and affliction on beds of languishing? Well, be very gracious to them. Remember those away at this time, be gracious to them. Those detained in the lawful works of daily life, in responsibilities here below. Bless them indeed, any that could have come and have made faint excuses not to come, Lord, or bring them into deepening concern. But in the end, nothing may keep them away except those things that are lawful or indeed prevent. But all we do realise, Lord, that when we're not exercised, it doesn't take much to keep us away. That we are exercised, we want to get to Zion's courts. For there, we say, my best friends and my kindred dwell, that God my Saviour reigns. We want to thank thee for thy mercies. Oh yes, oh yes, Lord. Everyday mercies, everyday mercies, every minute mercies, no exaggeration. Oh, have been so good and gracious to us. Oh, we seem so lean and barren. We get a little sense of thy goodness to us over the years. It sets us a-weeping. Oh, our sins, our backslidings, our hardness of heart, our forgetfulness. Oh, we mourn in our houses of heart. We consider thy infinite goodness, giving us a hope in the gospel. Can't deny the blessings received. Well, eternity won't be too long to praise thee for, Lord. Nah, to crown thee, Lord of all. Oh, we need thee to bring us there safely. Ah, we wouldn't take the last step left to ourselves. If thou left us to take the last step, we wouldn't take it, Lord. We need thee step by step, step by step. And especially those last steps, Lord, when nature sinks. Oh, we shall need thee then. Oh, bring us, oh dear Emmanuel, safely home to God. We plead. We pray for another harvest, thankful to see that there is that in gathering now. The early grains and other crops, Lord, and we see the ripening fields. We bless thee for thy wonderful mercies, the seasons, the beautiful seasons. And pray thou send that suitable weather for thee in gathering. We need the rain, we need the sunshine, we need the cold, the heat. Let us send beautiful weathers to this land. And we're a well-watered island. Ah, Lord, and there were, and for centuries, we were well-watered by the gospel. Oh, but now we're a desert, we're becoming a desert. Antichrist, indeed, it's raining in our land, Lord. It's a flood. It's all opened up, come so quickly. Oh, to be not only ready for eternity, but have something solid that we may stand under persecution. Oh, that we may be helped to endure. This we shall need much grace. We think of our dear young friends and tremble for them. Can we bring them unto thee, Lord? Have mercy on them. Oh, yet send forth thy word with power. Send forth more labourers into the harvest, we pray. Lord, we was now turned to thy word. Do loose a stammerous tongue. Unto thus saith the Lord. And there may be that a word in season, that word of grace to one and another. Some real help, divine instruction. Oh, that there may be some eating of thy flesh and drinking of thy blood here tonight. We do plead that thee we can do nothing. Do come and help us and aid us. If anything we should have prayed for and we've omitted, do make up in giving. We seem to have something nagging our thoughts. We've missed something out we should have prayed about or for, but our memory is weak. But Lord, thou canst do everything. Oh Lord. Oh, those who have need, may they pray for themselves. And as we are able to remember, may we ever pray one for another. So do pardon every sin. Receive us graciously. We're only poor sinners here tonight. Ah, but we're coming to such a blessed King. Oh, the Prince of Peace. Oh, the Son of Man in Heaven. The sinner's friend. Oh, the only real solid friend of sinners. All our friendships die out here. But oh, thy friendships for eternity. A wonderful God. Oh, we plead thy precious name. All prevailing name, the pardon of all our many, many, many sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 20. Ere the blue heavens were stretched abroad, from everlasting was the Word. With God he was, the Word was God, and must divinely be adored. Hymn number 20.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and to verse 29. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and to verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." Jesus here is answering the question in the preceding verse, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Salvation is finished, a finished salvation. When Jesus died at Calvary, he cried out with that loud voice, "It is finished." And the church was washed, and the people of God were completely saved. Nothing has been left for anyone to do for them. Nothing being left, for God has done it all. And now he's returned to the Father, the gracious, wonderful outworking of that victory is seen on earth, a work of grace in sinners' hearts and lives. That's God's work. That's God's work. This question came from the minds of them who were used to the old legal covenant, to work, to obey. That, my friends, what is our duty? To keep the law and to reverence God and to obey God. Yet, without the Holy Ghost sanctifying, mighty, gracious work in our hearts and the drawing love of the Father and the sanctification of the blood in our lives, the blood of the everlasting covenant, my friends, all our efforts are in vain. Now, you know, I'm sure of this, unsanctified hearts among us will not find much pleasure in what I'm saying and may be ready to query. But remember this, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So, you see, so many did not believe on him, as he discoursed in this chapter. There were those that turned back in the end. I know there's a natural side in their judgment. They say, well, shall this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? You couldn't understand such things. But you see, dear friends, they did not view his glorious person by faith. And in John chapter 10, we read as the Lord Jesus declaring himself to be that good shepherd. And so he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give unto them eternal life, and none shall pluck them out of my hand." You see, friends, he calls his own sheep by name. And so we have that beautiful verse, of course, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And the covenant promise, "And him that cometh to me will in no wise cast out." So you see, sadly and solemnly, many of these men that heard him did not receive him. The word had no effect. And you consider that how solemn it is. The words of Emmanuel had no effect. No effect. Maybe the great God of heaven in the glorious person of the Son, and who will judge the world in righteousness, for God will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And yet they are offended by what he said. But the blind, the lame, and the sick, and sinners, as the work of God went on in their heart, you see, they sought after him because they needed him. And therefore, in our profession here tonight, and we all make profession, friends, in coming here tonight, some sort of profession. And in our profession here, is it really true that you need him to do everything for you? You feel your poverty and ruin and helplessness and wretchedness? You say, well, you said at the opening that salvation is a complete thing. Everything's been done for the church. Well, if the very hairs of your head are known by God here tonight, not in just, friend, something must be done, and something will be done because something has been done. If you're a needy sinner, he knows the number of the hairs of the needy sinners. He knows the number of the hairs of the ungodly, true. But he knows your bleatings. He hears them in heaven's court. He knows the longings of your soul. How often does the Lord hear your groanings about your sinnership and your shortcomings and all the weaknesses in your profession? In the church prayers, you know, those good old church prayers, in the old church, in the old prayer book, of course, you know, they confessed. I know, of course, they were read out, but they're good language. Well, we're miserable sinners. And are you a miserable sinner? Modern Christianities, we're all happy people today, self-assured. That's the modern way. But if you're sanctified, you'll know yourself to be a miserable sinner. But you see, dear friends, the Lord Jesus is very plain in his teaching, isn't he? They asked what they might do to work the works of God. And so he said, this is the work of God. This is the work of God in your heart. This is the work of God in the earth. This is my work. As I return to my Father, so I'll send the Holy Ghost, and I'll do a mighty work. I'll come and conquer the hearts of sinners, my enemies, and show them my love and show them my mercy. And I'll visit them and make them willing the day of my power, and they shall know me, because I've known them from all eternity and love them with everlasting love. So, you and I are very troubled and anxious about many things, are we not? No, we just read, I wanted to read the full chapter because of the earlier part. There were one or two things there that took my attention earlier. He knew their need. There they were, they would be faint to return back home. And so there were just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, just such a little amount, not enough to go around. But you see, he kept breaking and breaking. Dear friends, you often come to the point in your life you've got no more grace, you've got no more strength. You're ready to halt and ready to perish. And you can't continue. So all you can do is to cry to the Lord. And he breaks the bread of life to your soul. He's eternally full. My dear friends, how often we come to places where we must faint. And we've sung very solemnly of a hymn we should sing, perhaps more often, of death. What a doleful theme death is. The modern age of Antichrist is forget about it. And when it comes, run, inject yourself, and that's the end of everything. But it's not, my friend. No. And if you've got a work of God in your heart, you know it's not the end. You don't want it to be the end either, do you? You want it to prepare you for that day. Instead of being a day to be dreaded, which of course it is to us in nature, it is to me in nature. It may be your best day on earth. Your best day on earth. You see, therefore, my dear friends, he hears the groanings of prisoners. He hears the cry of the poor and needy. Well, you see, so he broke those loaves and fishes, you see. And in him being the eternal God, vast, eternal Jehovah, without dimension. For God is without dimension, yet we view his beloved Son of the substance of the Father and of the Holy Ghost being true almighty God. So he's contracted to a span, as we sing in that middle hymn, in a body like our own, glorified. And then, you see, from him flows every grace, every strength, every help, every mercy, every love. Why? My dear friends, as you're sanctified and separated from the world, so you lean harder and harder. So do you understand the meaning, you see, when I say salvation is finished? The work of God in your heart is the fruit of the victory of Calvary. And therefore he will give you the victory by giving you faith. It's his work in your heart. This is the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith. And by believing in him, trusting in him, looking to him, the work of God in the heart, oh, believer, you will stand every storm and live at last. So, you see, this is the work of God. The work of God, my friends. And without that work, you cannot continue, you will never endure, you'll fall away, you'll decline at last, and you'll sink in death to rise no more. Well, that work in your heart. But because he's married to his people, and he loved them as he received their sins. Is it a solemn exercise with some here? I hope so. That as you may be so troubled about yourself and your sins at times. Yes, past sins. But still the corruptions of the heart. Nature hasn't changed. Left herself, where would we get to? Are you troubled? What love it must have been to receive your sins, and to die that accursed death for your sins. And shall I go further? Solemnly true, our love of sin too, and our love of the world. Yet he died in victory. So you see, he worked a mighty work of grace in your heart. And what to do? To believe in him. And to believe in him for everything. Everything, literally everything. You see, dear friends, we're in dark places and very tried, overwhelmed in floods, and you cry for mercy, cry for help. He doesn't always, he seems to hide himself away at times on these heavy, heavy trials. But notice, you see, he sent the disciples away, but he had not come to them. Now they were in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. We read it, didn't we? Toiling and rowing, you see. His eye was upon them in the sea. His eye is upon you now, this day. If you're a child of God, his eye was upon you from all eternity. And as you return to the Father, he's preparing a place for you. Preparing a place for you. And he'll work a mighty work of grace that you believe on him that you might get there at last. Believe on him for everything. Everything I say. and how he walked on the sea, as we sing in 320. He plants his footsteps on the sea and in the sea and rides upon the storm. Oh, I believe if you've got that work of in your heart, that work of God in your heart, it'll bear this hallmark: how you want it more. You want it more. If it's your own work, and if your profession's about your own kindling, you're very full of it. In fact, you've got so much, you can probably share it with others. But if you have got that work of God in your heart, you realise its infinite worth and value. How empty and foolish and rotten we are. You want that work more and more to go on and to go on and to go on and to bring you home to glory. And I believe you'll view it this way: only his work, his mighty work, his wondrous work, his lovely work, his merciful work, his very tender work, his perfect work. Yes, my dear friends, his that work will bring you home, home to glory, and you'll want it to go on and on in your life. So you see, dear friends, it's a work of love in this, you see, because he will bring you to begin to love God, to love him in particular. We love him because he first loved us. And my friend, that is a love that will never die. His love is eternal. It's as strong as death. Oh, my dear friends, death is very strong to us. We can't stop it. We can't stop death coming. And my dear friends, his love is fixed upon his people, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And the adamant heart, if love with an everlasting love, is at last broken down. From the days when the Lord began to break down your heart, that blessed breaker that's gone forth, we read of, is it in Micah? He breaks the stubborn will and the stubborn nature. He breaks down all the idolatrous loves. And he softens and he draws. And he still breaks for you in the way of your providence as you journey on. Oh, he breaks, my dear friends, the gripping power of sin at times. You need him to do everything for you. But I must hasten now a little further. So I want to emphasize then, this is the work of God. God, the Holy Ghost, in sweet operation in your soul, being sent to us by our dear, blessed Redeemer, who died for us and rose the third day and has ascended into heaven for us. He sends the Holy Spirit to us from the Father. And that blessed Holy Ghost comes to us from the Father in the name of his dear Son. My dear friends, as our most merciful Father has raised up his beloved Son to his right hand, he's covenanted here your poor prayers. And I tell you this, if the Holy Spirit breathes upon your soul, you'll realise how poor your prayers are, but they'll be sincere and real, because your heart from time to time will go with what you say. You know, we can sometimes just go on in prayer, and there's a danger in public prayer too. I find it very searching. Do our prayers, do our words always, is our heart always in our words? It is when the Spirit's blowing upon you, when you're in need, when you're desperate. But I must come to the main part here, you see. This is the work of God, that you believe on him. Believe on him. Whom he hath sent. So two things. I want to come to this believing on him, and it's joined immediately, you see, believing on him whom God has sent. And if you've got that life in your soul, you will view that last clause particularly in some sacred adoration by faith. He's been sent by God to us. Christ has been sent, my friends. And he's been sent to save that people his Father has given him, and they're saved. Because he's finished the work of their salvation and he's returned to the Father. And therefore you'll be exercised to him whom God hath sent and whom God has received again in the heavens. And therefore exercise will be to the Holy of Holies where Jesus is. In believing in him, now I say this very tenderly and carefully, because I need this faith much more in exercise, you see. I'm like you, a poor man and a leaky vessel. Oh, I do need that exercise in my soul, the breathing of the Spirit, a steadfast eye, a heart, my friends, that is steadfast and unmovable, always waiting upon God. But I have my flaws and my unbelieving moments. Ah, that we do not excuse ourselves in any way. And I know what I need, a gracious supply, day by day. But that work is a finished work. Therefore, he will never leave nor forsake his people. So the desolate soul has something to plead. Oh, wherever you may be here tonight, there's one being sent and one who cannot lie. And if you're a desperate sinner and need help from God, we have this comfortable word in verse 37, and him that cometh to me are in no wise cast out. Because believing is coming. Because there's an exercise in believing. Or is it looking out of self to the mighty Jesus upon the throne of grace? Oh, and there's a humbly believing the truth of him. Why, he lives. His blood speaks in the court of heaven. His written word declares him. He cannot deny it. He cannot turn back from him. Here we are, weak and desperate and helpless. We need much grace. The grace of submission. The grace of godly fear. The grace of precious faith to wait upon him and lay hold upon him. Oh, we need, my dear friends, him to give us the victory that we may hold fast and continue in the grace of God and endure. So there's a believing in a looking unto him and a coming unto him. But you see, the subject is just so vast. So vast. It really is. So I can only just say one or two things in this vast subject. But may the Holy Ghost be pleased to help me say a few things to the glory of Christ, and for the benefit and welfare of his dear, needy people. You believe on him whom he hath sent. You believe on him who hath been sent to be that Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it has been taken away. It has been taken away. Oh, read in Hebrews. Number of chapters there we read concerning he died once. Why, by one offering is perfected forever them that are sanctified. That one great offering, that precious blood, my friends, was shed for many for the remission of sins. And the covenant promise to Israel of old, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So may we be helped indeed by the blessed Spirit to believe in our hearts now he is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And his blood does speak in the court of heaven for all the poor, vile, stinking worms of the earth who must draw near, must draw near. If you really believe he's the Christ, you must draw near, you must draw near. May we believe something of the blessed report you see in John's epistle. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse from all unrighteousness, O believer. One thing is so clear. You'll be a confessing sinner here. You really will. You'll be a confessing sinner if you're a child of God, if you're a true believer. Yes, after all these years of trying to preach, and I feel a very poor profession too. Poor profession, but I mustn't speak these things too much in public. You won't think I'm being sincere. But after all these years, you know, I still have to go of sinners chief to that blessed one who fills his Father's throne. Perhaps some of you young folks will be surprised at that. Surely not. After all these years, aren't you a good man by now? Well, I tell you, I used to sit in chapel at Maidstone, hear the godly confessing their sins and groaning. It's the thing, I think they must be exaggerating. Well, they're confessing their sins in the past. But friends, they knew the plague of their own heart. And after all these years, it's a dreadful plague. But may I believe in him. But may you believe in him. You are distressed about your indwelling sin and the corruptions of the heart. And if past offences pain your eyes, still believe in that precious blood was shed once and the covenant promise of the spring forth. Yes, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And to him that is athirst will I give the fountain of the water of life freely. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Let him that is athirst come, and many precious promises. Why? Because the fountain's opened, you see. It's been opened. And that's the fountain of grace that flows because, you see, the blood has issued from Christ. And justice has been done. And the sins of the whole world of God's people has been laid on the Lamb of God that was smitten for our sins. Smitten for our sins. As Barrett says in 1 Source 170, those sores that entered into his heart as he groaned and bled upon the tree. Well, could you believe on him whom he has sent? And so there's an honest confession and of sin as you draw near and plead that precious blood. You see, these sinners are under covenant promise. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And you say, well, how does this apply to us in our day? I know it's ceremonial, but they kept the feast, you see. They kept the feast. They were under divine protection. So it was a vital thing. O Israel, keep thy solemn feast, you see. That blessed Passover. They were protected. And though, of course, we do not do anything ceremonial, faith believes, work of God in your heart, you plead his great love, his great forgiveness, his great blessing, as you solemnly confess your sins, and it's day by day as you draw near. And my dear friend, another vital thing I must touch upon, and I know I'm not going to say very much tonight, it's a vast subject. You believe on him whom he hath sent to be your not only your propitiation to make a full atonement for you, but who is your righteousness. Jesus is your righteousness. Wonderful truth, that. You know, I'll be honest with you, there's a lad I used to think of that, you know, what I needed is we need forgiveness. It was the death of Jesus that was so vital. But in that blessed day when the Lord really visited my soul, I saw something equally as vital, equally as vital. He lived for me. He lived for me. Didn't just die for me, he lived for me. He wove every part of that glorious robe in which the church will appear, shining in shining glory. Oh, it wasn't stitched together. It was the lovely, holy life of him who fills his father's throne as a real man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, who loved God for you. Now look back. We haven't always loved God. Far from it. And sometimes after so much love received, our poor heart gets into unexercised places and you begin to have to cry out, Lord, where's the love now? Where's the love now? You won't get to heaven, my dear friends, on your self-loving God. But he loved you and loved God for you. On your behalf, he loved God. And therefore, you're accepted in the Beloved. And God imputes the right of his dear Son to him that believeth, to that man that really believes the fullness of the glory that Jesus is the Christ, the Blessed One. So all his black record, all his failings, all his backslidings, like Solomon and David and Peter and Thomas and Jonah and Hezekiah and his pride and Jehoshaphat, helping the ungodly. And we could go on and on. So all their shortcomings, he justifies that poor man that really believes that he's the Blessed One. And oh, there's so much, isn't there? This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Do we really believe that he can do everything? Now, that's something easy to say. Easy to say. I've said in the pulpit many times, the Lord can do everything. We sometimes say it in conversation. But it's when you're under trial, you see. That's when you really know your need of the work of God. When faith is tried. When perhaps the chastenings of the Almighty are upon you, as Job describes it. And mind you, Job hadn't done anything particularly bad to have chastenings of the Almighty upon him. Far from it. God's test was, he fears God and escheweth evil. There's none like him who feareth me and escheweth evil, you see. But the work of God had to be deepened in his heart. And the Lord saw this, that Job must be further humbled, that he might know he was vile. And a strange way the Lord brought this about, in allowing Satan to get hold of him and well nigh destroy him. But mark it, he couldn't destroy his soul. Well, I'm digressing on this, aren't I? But you see, do we really believe he can do everything? Do you believe on him he hath sent, that his omniscient eye looks upon that city with holy affection day and night? He knows the way all his dear people take. He reads their aching heart. He knows their ups and downs, their fiery trials, their distressing things. And he reads your heart and hears your prayers when you cry to him. You cry for help. You cry for his appearing. You cry for him to undertake for you. Ah, my dear friends. And can he give you more prayer? Do you believe on him for prayer? You see, you're being a bit strange tonight, because if you believe in him, surely you'll pray to him. You see, dear friends, I believe we're humble to know this. Not only that no man can keep alive his own soul, but we do need help to pray. We do need help to pray. Now, prayer, my dear friends, is that springing desire from your heart to need God, to address the Almighty. But you may be come to some solemn places where your case is so urgent. And oh, you may be in a place like Jeremiah. I cry and shout, but he shutteth out my prayer. Now, let's be clear. Jeremiah is expressing what the church knows here below, experiences here below. But let's be clear. His prayer wasn't being shut out. But in this sense, he felt he was praying for Jerusalem to yet be spared and be delivered. And yet, of course, it was to be destroyed. So in that sense, he saw the hand of God, you see. You may see the hand of God in things in your lives. So solemn. Parents may see Yes, loved ones going astray. So solemn to them. And how we do need, in all our vast need, a real spirit of prayer. Do you understand what I mean? The ancient church, you know, was promised this in Zechariah, that he would pour out the house of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that spirit of grace and of supplications, for there to be a real reviving in the earth and a reviving in our own lives, to really be found ready to depart, bringing forth fruit unto eternal life. Fruitful trees, you know, the branches, they weigh down, don't they? You see, men who are fruitful are grave and moderate. They're not legal and hard, but they're grave and temperate, and they're weightily exercised. They reverence the Blessed One. Their conversation is in heaven, as becometh the gospel. And oh, we do need to be made ready to depart. Oh, to be found in that day. Yes, waiting for our Lord's coming. We might anticipate that day to stretch our wings and fly away to aid the song of palm to bear and bow the chief of sinners there. Now, how we need a spirit of grace and of supplications. And it's in the trying of your faith you're made to realise how vital it is that your prayers are heard. And therefore you're stirred up to really entreat God. So therefore, may we believe on him whom he hath sent, that we may ask of him to enable us to really wrestle. Ask him for more prayer, wrestling prayer for loved ones, affairs here below, our sinnership, to be well prepared. Oh, as we have a pattern in the word, oh, spare me that I may recover strength, for I go hence and be no more. As you long to be spared yet. Oh, how vital to be spared, to be made fruitful, my friends. It goes together. And then that we might believe in his name. Believe on him, his name. A name that you may plead in your felt desolation. A name you may plead under a sense of guilt. A name you may plead when you're faced with impossibility. A name you may plead for mercy when the hand of the Lord has gone out against you. Oh, he said, have pity upon Job. Pity on me, my friends. And you know, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. They've been so critical of him. Because of all these heavy trials, they had charged him with things that he had done so wrong, so the Lord had smitten him, and it wasn't at all like that. He'd not done anything outwardly wrong at all, but a gracious purpose for Job and for you and I to read and to receive instruction and to experience in the very trials that we come to. A name above every name. We believe in that name that prevails in the court of heaven. You've heard me say before on my visits here, you see, the vital part of prayer is that precious name you plead. And we want that faith in his name, don't we? To believe indeed the Father. Love to hear that name pleaded in the court of heaven. That we may truly delight in that name, reverence that name, honour that name in our lives. I've been reproved in my life a number of times, you know. Well, more than a number of times, I'd say. But in this particular thing I'm thinking of now, as I look back, you know, and have had to plead that name and felt reproof. Have you honoured that name fully? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. In the way everlasting, you're searched out, aren't you not? You may plead his name for healing, restoration, mercy, the Lord to arise, an all-prevailing name. Yes, that name which God cannot deny. And all who truly from their heart call upon that name, my dear friends, having reverenced that name in their hearts, not just using the name of Jesus in prayer, it's delighting in that name. and the exercises of your soul in your life, that you may plead that name above every name. But we're instructed, I was thinking, I nearly preached from it here tonight, neither is there salvation any other. For there's another name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved, you see. Yes, another name given whereby you must be saved. In other words, God has covenanted concerning that name. You who believe in him and trust in him. I know you're poor. I know you come short. I know you're weak. I know you're tempted. Ah, because I'm among you like that. But Jesus knows. He knows the weakness of our humanity. He knows the flaws of nature. He realizes about his sweet supplies of grace, his life-giving vigor. His people must faint. His people must fade away and decline at last. But he loves them. He loves that bride. So he will invigorate that bride. He will stir up that bride in his love to her, to stir up loves in her heart to him. Another thing, do we believe in that almighty power? That almighty power. That sweet power. That gracious power. I said just now, he can do everything. Yes, with power he blesses. With power he makes the word a living word. With power you receive instruction and commandment from him. With power you're softened. With power you're humbled. And it's his hand, isn't it? Do you see the hand of grace and the hand of promise as one hand? I know they're these two aspects of the Lord's government and reign over us. Drawing our hearts, our thoughts, our souls to him. Making himself known and kissing us with the kisses of mouth. Ravishing our hearts with his love. But what a blessed hand in providence. A father's hand. As we have families, of course, as a child myself, and a wayward child, and a lively family, a naughty family, and now there was, is there not love, and is there not spankings as well? Is there not solemn punishments, many scoldings and looks? Are there not many lovings and restorings, and instructions and helpings and guiding the family, all in love and communing with the family, instructing the way? Oh, my friends, is not that right bonding between parents and children? Oh, my dear friends, yes, from the presence of God, you know your Father's love, in and through his beloved Son. And oh, his gracious help, his power over you, power to keep and power to graciously lead you. Oh, the sweet power and his everlasting love. If you received his loving power, friends, you receive something. You have a saving knowledge by experience you can't lose. Now, it may be clouded. It gets very clouded. We get so tried sometimes and unbelief rises. Think, oh, Lord, have I ever been blessed now? Oh, where are you? So you go to the throne of grace. Blessed be his name. Why, he loves his people, ever there. Why, he will never leave his people. His parting testimony was, and along with you always, even on the end of the world. And he's made himself known to you, my friends. His eye is always on you. His heart is always toward you. Not all the wanderings of her heart can make his love from her depart. Glorious truth, isn't it? And you see, if you've known his love with power, his mercy with power, have you had powerful answers to your poor prayers? Powerful deliverances, powerful sparings, powerful restorations. What I mean is this, the Lord has heard you and done what you could not do when you were sinking fast. Ah, may we believe in him more. He who has power over all flesh. Power to ransom you from the grave. Power to bring you safety through the worst in all his sweet grace towards you. And power, my dear friends, to bring you safety through death and home to God. And of course, resurrection, power at the last trump. Yes, this dust. Death is a solemn, humbling thing, isn't it? The dissolution of our soul from our body is a solemn matter, it's a weighty matter. We shall want to be in Christ, won't we? And when you can think no more and nature sinks, how I believe a dear child of God wants that comfort, well, hope and sweet assurance in soul, it is well. Can you live carelessly and come to death and say, well, I'm a believer. Of course the Lord will help me because I'm a Christian and I've done this and I haven't been too bad a person and he knows, of course, I'm sincere, so I shall be all right. Can you say that? I can't. I believe he's faithful, though. I'll have to close. I see it's gone 25 past. Well, I haven't gone anywhere. This is the work of God, that you believe on him, his covenant faithfulness. His covenant faithfulness. God cannot lie in the swearings of the promises, yes, that spring forth from his beloved Son. And you see those promises he makes known freely to your soul, freely to your soul. And does thou believe those invitations are in covenant promise? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a covenant promise. And here's a labouring man with nothing to pay, bowed down with twice 10,000 cares, and he's just an ugly monster in the sight of God, and he's trying to draw near to this holy, pure a God whose eyes are a flame of fire. What can he do? The promise is, it give him rest through the merit and love of his dear Son, and he will sinner in your coming. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so many exceeding great and precious promises. If he's laid a promise in your soul, in the experience of your soul, in those powerful visits of love and mercy to you, you'll have to plead those promises all your day. I remember years ago, Mr. Oliver Pack said at Maidstone, he said that he felt the Lord had given a promise and a certain thing. He said, but he's given me that promise to plead, not to sit back and rest in, but to plead before him, to plead before him. And my friends, he's faithful. What he lays in your soul, he'll perform. Well, I haven't got time. Whom he hath sent, that blessed, holy, glorious person, the Lord Jesus, Almighty God. Oh, we sang of him in our opening hymn. Was it middle hymn? Middle hymn. Yes, dear friends, he lives now in the court of heaven. Only God is really love, you know. Said to the friends at home on the Sabbath and at Skainsill last evening, Tuesday evening, and I think I said it in prayer tonight, you know, that blessed friend of sinners, there's no friend like the person of the Lord Jesus, and God is love to give his Son to be your friend, which means your Father is your friend, but you can't draw near to your most holy Father without a mediator. You must draw near to Christ, and you will be drawn to him. And what a friend he is. You know, our friendships wax and wane. Sometimes they go cold. Friends can turn against us. And all our friendships are going to die, aren't they? There's no real solid friend here. But there's a blessed one in heaven. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, that's very beautiful. One of the verses in, it's not in our book, 133. One that is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. There's a verse they often quote because it's true. Could we bear from one another what he daily bears from us? Yet this glorious friend and brother loves us, though we treat him thus. Though for good we render ill, he accounts us brethren still. Yes. He sent him to be your friend, your redeemer, your saviour, your hiding place. A merciful and a gracious high priest. He's gone back to the Father to intercede for you, hear your prayers, make blessings known. He's gone to heaven to reign, to be your king. He's going to have to prepare a place for you. You may be his bride. He will be your husband, the bridegroom of your soul. He'll be your God in heaven. So he'll be your God now. Oh, his love will indeed bring you to know him as your God. I'll have to close. You know, what did Thomas say? I won't believe that he's risen. I won't. No, not except I see him and put my hand in his wounds. I won't believe. But when the Lord instructed him, you see, he said, and told him to put his hand, said, my Lord and my God. And he was reproved with this, wasn't he? Thomas, thou hast believed because thou hast seen. Blessed are they which believe and have not seen. Well, you here tonight who have been favoured in soul and you were seeking, now I must include that, and I've got to close, but the coming sinner who seeks for a blessing, he's a believer. In the scriptures, the Syrophoenician woman, you see, she put him at the harbour. She hadn't been blessed. She hadn't been delivered, but she believed. So she argued. And the woman with the issue of blood, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. She believed she'd be whole in coming to Christ, so she ventured to him. Ah, my friends. And Bartimaeus the same, and believers today, you who seek him, you will find him, because he said so. And you ask the way to Zion with your faith in the Lord, yes, you'll receive those favours from him. And you knock at the door of mercy, yes, he who is the way, the truth, and the life, he'll open the precious truth of his love and mercy to you, for he's faithful that promised. Well, whom he has sent, who's now returned to the Father, and he'll receive you at last. I'll see you again is his promise. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. O Lord, do bless that which has been true and of thy good spirit. Lord, help us to believe in thee more and help us to trust in thee more. And may we draw from thee all that we need because thou art faithful that promised, Lord. So we would ask our way to Zion. So in mercy, follow with thy blessing. And may something remain with us and go home with us, Lord, to do us good. Please pardon all spoken wrongly. Grant safe journeys now. We plead thy precious name. For Jesus Christ's sake.
God willing, Mr. Pack will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 850. Ye souls that trust in Christ, rejoice. Your sins are all forgiven. Let every Christian lift his voice and sing the joys of heaven. Hymn 850.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.